Today's title, The Enemy Who Has Been Switched Is Jesus, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 13. Let's read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 13. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the power of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand. Last week, we looked at how the greatest work that Satan, the devil, does is to make us think the enemy for human beings is other human beings, and that the most important strategy for the devil in driving us humans to think only one thing on this earth is precisely to make us think that people are the enemy. The devil makes people think that people are the enemy, makes people hurt one another, makes them hate one another, and seeks to destroy that relationship, which should be like indispensable part of one body. And then, where does he lead us to? He led us to doubt the existence of God, and ultimately to make us think that God is the enemy. And what I'd like us to think about today is something real more troublesome, or shall we say, a more cunning scheme of Satan, the devil. What kind of scheme is it? It is about the kind of human relationships, the appearance of us humans, or even of believers, who, although we do not think that God is the enemy, and rather confess that and take pride in believing in God, actually end up being in opposition to God. In the Bible, many concrete examples appear. For example, there are Adam and Eve, whom we looked at last week. The first man, Adam, who offered the first love song in human history to his beloved wife Eve, saying, "You are bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. You are my very self, and I exist because you are there," came before the Lord God, accusing her, hurling at her, because of her, things have turned out like this. But the thing is, Adam's feeling at the moment were, in fact, feeling entirely right to him, wrapped in sense of good righteousness. Therefore, of course, I do not think he had any awareness that his faith toward the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who created heaven and earth, had become weakened, or that he did not believe in God. I don't think so. On the contrary, he surely thought something like, I am making a correct point because of my faith. I am making an accurate judgment with a feeling that could even be called faith. Something like, God, you are the one who is wrong. Let me teach you that the true fact. And my faith is strong, or I am more correct than this person. But contrary to such thoughts, what is clear is that at the point when he hated Eve, resented her, condemned her, accused her, looked down on her, belittled her, evaluated her, and in his heart, even before actually presenting his accusation, thought, that person is no good, she is inferior. He had already become one who opposed God. Then why is this able to become an act of opposing God? Last week, we looked at the word of Genesis chapter 1. But when God created human beings, how did he create them? God created humans in his own image, in the likeness of God. That is to say, when we look at a person, the preciousness of God, the beauty of God appears there. When a person looks at another person, he should naturally be able to find there the preciousness and beauty of God, and while finding it, to build up a relationship of honoring one another. Originally, we were able to know, feel, and see what kind of one God is through people. It means that in appearance of person, one sees God who is love. When we think about it, it is certainly true that if God himself were to appear directly, or if the risen Jesus were to appear directly anywhere to anyone, Christian mission or evangelism might proceed more easily and more smoothly, but God did not choose such a method. Then what method did God choose? When the Apostle Peter was carrying out the ministry of preaching, he once said to men lame from birth, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. This is the method of God chose. That is, through the image of God, the likeness of God, the appearance of Jesus Christ manifested in Peter as a person, God made it so that people may know God. Christian mission is, in a sense, the restoration of original human beings before sin was committed. The restoration and reappearance of the order of creation in which the image of God, the likeness of God, like the fragrance of Christ appears in human beings. But unfortunately, Adam came to no longer see the image of God, the likeness of God that was in Eve. Instead of seeing the image of God, the likeness of God, the preciousness and beauty of God that still remained in Eve, he was enticed by Satan, the devil, and saw only Eve's evil parts, sinful parts, lacking parts, and darkness. Furthermore, he became intoxicated with the fact that he could point out Eve's evil parts, sinful parts, lacking parts, and darkness. He flourished his one sense of righteousness, made himself appear more pious than Eve. Surrounded about in his one correctness, posed, and with confidence, became self-righteous, and came to regard Eve as his enemy. He made his wife Eve, who he was supposed to love, who he had loved, into his enemy. As a result, he neglected, gave up on, and became unable to find in Eve the God who was in her, the love of God, and thus become one who opposed God. The Apostle Paul, the author of Epistle to the Ephesians, also once, instead of finding the image of God, the likeness of God, and the preciousness of God in people, became intoxicated with being able to point out people's mistake, strutted about in his own correctness, truly thought with a straight face that he was more devout in faith than anyone else, made it appear so, and with confidence took hold of Christians, threw them into prison, and even participated in killing them. To that former Apostle Paul, Saul, there was a time when Jesus himself spoke directly to him from heaven. "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." At the time, the ones Saul was persecuting and seizing were not Jesus. They were Christians who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. However, what Jesus spoke to Saul was, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Speaking as though the one Saul was persecuting was not the Christian, but Jesus himself. I titled today's message, "The Enemy Who Has Been Switched Is Jesus," and indeed, without even realizing that devil had switched the enemy, he ended up making Jesus God, him his enemy, by persecuting people. Once Jesus said, "What you did for one of the least of these, you did for me. And what you did not for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." And he also said that the work of devil is to lure people into being unable to find the image of God in others. And whether you ride along with the work or not is the very battle that is not against flesh and blood, but the battle against the devil's strategy of switching the enemy. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 through 46. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as shepherds separate the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep of his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say those on his right, Come, you who are blessed by my father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did you see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invited you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did you see you sick or in prison or go to visit you? The king replied, Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, Depart from me, you are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. Then also will answer, Lord, when did you see hungry or thirsty or stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Our bottle is the bottle of whether we find or do not find the image of God, the appearance of Jesus in people, and Satan sets trap to prevent us from finding the image of God, Jesus, in that person. Even the disciples who heard this teaching of Jesus directly throughout the 3 years they were with Jesus kept thinking among themselves, who is the greatest? They criticized one another, evaluated one another, and looked down and despised one another, knowing or not knowing that they were caught in Satan's trap. They kept thinking, as believers in God, we are making correct judgment. And what happened as a result? They forsook Jesus and fled. To such disciples, the words spoken by risen Jesus after his death on the cross appear to have been the very answer for them. John chapter 20, verse 22-23, and with that his breath on them and said, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Jesus breathed on his disciples and said, Receive the Holy Spirit. And he spoke to them, forgive one another's sins. What sin does this moment, Jesus breathing on them and saying, remind you of? It is that scene in Genesis chapter 2 verse 7 when God created humans in his image and breathed into them the breath of life. That is to say, to receive the Holy Spirit is to be restored to the relationship in Genesis before sin was committed. Adam and Eve, beautiful relationship where each could find the image of God in other, which is be restored. From that point of where, having ridden on instigation of the devil and the evil spirits, one boldly declared, this woman, because of this person, it is this person who is wrong. The restoration of the original beautiful human relationship is what is meant by receive the Holy Spirit. When one receives the Holy Spirit, the person's evil parts, lacking parts, dark parts, sinful parts become felt as though they were once worn. They pressed in as pain. And furthermore, one comes to find the forgotten image of God within the person, and the work of God appears, in which one forgives and is forgiven in God. We sinners, because sin dwells in us rather than good, naturally right upon the devil's temptation, are guided by evil spirits, and without any effort at all, quite naturally criticize people, look down on people, and make people our enemies. What is required of us every day, what we must seek every day, is not evil spirits, but the Holy Spirit. It is the filling of the Holy Spirit. We seek the filling of the Holy Spirit in prayer, seeking the filling of Holy Spirit of God, and in word and in praise. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 17 to 18. Therefore do not foolish, but understand what the Lord will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Just as this word say, the will of the Lord for us is to be filled not with evil spirits, but with the Holy Spirit, and thereby to find image of God, the likeness of God, the Lord Jesus within people, to forgive and forgive one another, to love and love one another. Now, as for me personally, I have been slowly and carefully reading through 1st and 2nd Samuel, and in the figure of David and the figure of Saul that appear there, I feel as though I am seeking the very content of today's message. No matter how many times King Saul hurled a spear at David and tried to take his life, no matter how unreasonable and relentless the death threat that came through Saul's persistent pursuit, David, until the very, very end, sought to discover and to respect in Saul the image of God, the likeness of God, and the reality that he was one loved by God. And David carried this out with the conviction that this itself was the will of God, what God desired first and foremost for himself, and what God desired for every human being. And the one who enabled him to do this was the help and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And the people of Israel, who were moved by such way of life in David, together with David, honor Saul as the Lord anointed, and mourned and grieved his death when King Saul passed away. On the other hand, Saul, until the very, very end, followed the leading of an evil spirit. He entrusted his heart to the false sense of justice, and the false conviction whispered and lured by evil spirit, and instead of discovering God in David, he persecuted David. When we look at the way of life of David and Saul, it seems to me that we can clearly and distinctly see the contrast between one who valued receiving and being filled with the Holy Spirit, and who valued discovering the preciousness of God in others, and one who did not. After this, we will have the Holy Communion, in which we remember that the Lord Jesus was crucified for our sins, shed his blood, and his body was broken. But Jesus himself is the loving God who alone, without any doubt, discovered in us the image of God. For the forgiveness of our sins, he himself was crucified and resolved it. Instead of discovering sin in us, he discovered in us restored image of God, our restored identity as children of God. In other words, he is the only one who thought of us entirely, holding nothing back as he thinks of himself, as though he loved such Jesus and who have received the Holy Spirit, and as those who have received the grace of Psalm chapter 32, 1 through 2. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, you keep talking to us. As we don't think at the thing as God, we confess we are sinners in front of you. Please help us not to follow Satan, but to you, and let us find image of God in people. And please lead us to remember the way we should walk. We will always find image of God in people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.